Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
More good days in May, Dr. Thea Gallagher. So I hear people say this all the time, and it happens to me. People will just feel like they'll feel full of dread. They'll feel like something is wrong, and they can't put their finger on what it is. And they wake up that way, and they feel like the shoe's going to drop, or and they go through their day. And we've all been there, and we've all done that. And we don't know why or what's creating that. But we also allow that feeling to overtake us because of the unknown. And it can ruin your day. It can ruin your week. What can we do when we wake up feeling like that and we can't identify what's causing it?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to my dad about this recently because he's in his 70s and he's a pretty positive guy. But he was like, you know, I've seen some like horrible things in my life. Like if you live long enough, you're going to see some really tragic things happen. And then all of a sudden, your mind, you know, our minds are, you know, they're created to keep us from danger and threat. So sometimes we wake up and we remember those things, or sometimes we think about like all the things that could go wrong in our lives. What our brains are less good at is keeping track of all the things that have gone right, like all the good things that have happened. And so sometimes we have to really like just kind of grab the wheel and bring it back to, again, the present, the things that are going well, the things that we can control in our lives. Also, sometimes I think we overinterpret this feeling of dread. Like sometimes you're just going to have it. Like I saw this video about this girl who said before social events, she'll feel like a deep sense of dread. Because she's like, oh, I just want to cancel. And then she goes and she has a good time. And she's like, I just am normalizing the fact that I probably will always have this feeling before I go out, but I have a good time. And like, sometimes if you're wired that way, like you might wake up and you're just like, oh, like I have this feeling of dread, and it might not be that deep. And you might need to just like put your shoes on, put your clothes on, like enjoy your morning cup of coffee, envision the things that you can control in your day, the things that you want to do, move your body, eat a good meal, talk to a friend, like kind of welcome the feeling in and being like, I don't know if I even know what this is fully about, but yeah, life can be hard, but if we fixate on all those things, we're never going to be able to live our lives. And like something is going to happen to all of us if we get the pleasure to live long enough, you know? And so we have to just say like, that is going to happen. And we probably just have to keep living our lives and we'll deal with it when we get there.
Social anxiety is a big, big thing with a lot of my friend group and a lot of even the younger people I know, that they are more comfortable, they say, staying at home than leaving the house.
And it's something I treat, and it's one of my favorite things to treat, because you've got to get out. And sometimes your feelings, you know, we're taught to trust our feelings, but sometimes our feelings tell us stay home, cancel the plans, don't go, don't do this. And you know what? We shouldn't listen to that feeling. We actually, most of the time, for most of us, need to push through and push past that feeling and say, you know what, how do I feel afterward? Because most of us, once we go and do the thing, we typically feel Better. And the number one thing about social anxiety is that a lot of us are afraid of being negatively evaluated. We're afraid that we have to be on, we have to perform. And I think the more you practice it and the more you can practice it, like being your authentic self, the better you're going to feel overall too. And like the, I always go back to this with social anxiety. You just can't, you cannot take yourself too seriously. And, you know, we're all going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to look stupid sometimes in our lives, but human connection can be messy. It can be uncomfortable, but it's so worth it.
Okay. You just said something that I hear as like a buzzword. And I don't know that I understand exactly what people mean when they say this.
Okay.
When you say to be your authentic self, exactly what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great question because a lot of people don't, I think, know who that is. And so they've got to spend some time because we're so used to like masking and being who people want us to be, especially Melanie, we were talking about like in your 20s, you know, you're trying to kind of fit the shapes that people want you to fit in and the
society
box, like,
norms.
Oh, I'm this kind of person, I'm that kind of person. But, you know, as we get older, I think we start to accept like, hey, this is the person that I am. And I'm either going to spend my life, you know, at odds with her, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, personality wise, or I'm going to say like, hey, this is like who I am. It doesn't mean that we don't want to grow and change and like continue to evolve. But I think a big part of our authentic selves is just like showing up and being present, being engaged, not kind of just rehearsing and thinking about how we're coming across. So the best way you can be authentic is really just being present and engaged with other people. And I use this quote all the time. In order to be an interesting person, you need to be an interested person. And if you're interested in the people and the things around you, you will be more of your authentic self because you're actually just engaging in what's happening in front of you.
In order to be an interesting person, you need to be an interested person.
Right.
That
so
is
So stop
cool.
focusing on how you're coming across and ask the person that you're talking to. Be really interested in their lives. Learn about them. Learn about what's going on around you. Connect with that. And that's going to help you to be authentic because you're actually just going to be being, not trying to be.
I wonder if this is a big reason why divorces happen and people don't realize why. Because let's say you get married at 28. Let's just use that as a random number, right? 28 years old. At 28 years old, you may not know who your authentic self is, but yet you make a choice to spend the rest of your life with somebody else who may not know who their authentic self is. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in your mid-40s really kind of knowing who you are. And that other person may know who they are and you may realize, wow, all of these years later, we're not nearly as compatible as we thought we were when we were younger.
And there's some theories that like we have three marriages in our lives, right? And sometimes they're to the same person and sometimes they're to different people. And I think for the people who are trying to stay together, want to stay together, it's about allowing someone to change and grow. And that can be threatening, right? When somebody changes and you're in a relationship with them, you're like, are they going to change so much that I'm not going to fit into their world, into their life? And so you have to allow for people to change and grow and be interested in their changing and their growing and kind of say like, let's do this together. Let me like learn about this person that you are becoming and kind of let's keep connecting.
Wow.
But if we get stuck in, you're not the person that you were, like then you're right. It's not going to work out. But we actually know compatibility is really not a big factor in marriage and relationships. It's about learning how to have hard discussions, how to watch and change and connect emotionally. You don't have to like all the same hobbies. That is not what is going to make your relationship work. It's about, again, trying to really see each other, trying to get to know each other. Again, being interested in the person that you're with while they're changing and growing. And who wants to be with somebody who never changes and grows? But it can be scary and it can create distance if you don't kind of talk about it, connect about it, and, you know, want that for your partner and want it for yourself.
Wow. Good stuff today, Dr. Thea Gallagher.
Wow.
You are welcome.